The Lord has blessed us with words of how great do we say that He is. If God asks us a question about how great we say He is, there's got to be an implication to that, that it has an effect on our lives.
Amen.
He doesn't just ask random questions for no purpose. Okay? Then He said there's more. And love, that power of love. Okay, and there's a lot more to that. He said that He delights in hands lifted up to Him to receive. He said lots of things already, and He said things to you during worship, I am sure. One way or another. Maybe things that you fully understood, maybe things that you didn't fully understand at the time. But if we will receive it, we will experience greater and greater things. Now, one thing is, I just want to encourage you to not allow any part of you to quench any part of the move of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To be receivers of the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. God is able to sort out most anything, but if we shut off the Holy Spirit, we don't shut anybody else off but ourselves. But if we happen to quench it for somebody else, then that's a problem as well. I want to read you, because on Wednesday, we talked a bit about a great opportunity, or the opportunity to receive. Okay? Because we've been talking about, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? Why did He rise again? On Wednesday night with the youth, I read to them, and as I read it to them, I got more revelation on it. It has become a favorite thought of mine out of the Scripture from Ephesians 1, because Paul says, I, Paul, am under God's plan. Are you under God's plan? Do you believe that you're under God's plan? You know, Paul was a pretty confident person. He was confident that he was under God's plan. He's a special agent of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Ah, yes. Secret agent man. Reminds me of an old song. But a special agent of God's purpose. I'm writing to you faithful Christians in Ephesus, and I greet you with the grace and the peace poured into our lives. It was poured into our lives. Paul was telling them that that was poured into our lives, including them and his hour. Not our H-O-U-R, but our O-U-R. That was poured into our lives, and we know from Scripture that's poured into our lives, it's poured into my life. Say, it's poured into my life.
Yes.
Now, these are important things for us to keep in mind, because if we will believe these things, then when God says, how great do you say that I am? We can honestly say, you know, God, I've been thinking you are the greatest. You are the greatest in everything. No selling my birthright, Lord. No giving up on you, Lord. Just cold, calm confidence in the Lord. Okay, how blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He is the Father and our Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Okay, this is also from the Message Bible, so in case you didn't know. But He takes us to high places. So, Paul, how do you do what you do? He takes me to high places. So He takes us to high places. Long before He laid down earth's foundation, He had us in mind. So He had me in mind. And He had settled on us as the focus of His love. So say, He settled on me as the focus of His love. Yeah. Say that one again.
He settled on me
as the focus of His love. That's pretty sweet. He settled on you as the focus of His love. So everything's about you, right? I always tell Rachel, it's not all about you. But when it comes to God, it is all about you. This whole thing, you're going to see as we go today, that this whole thing is all about us. Long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. Oh, what pleasure He took in planning this. Now, I just get a grin on my face when I think about Him getting a grin on His face planning things for me. Do you think He plans things for you?
Yes,
this isn't just some random book. He didn't run out of things to do when His book was written. He didn't run out of plans for you. He plans all night just for you.
Amen.
Yeah. Last night I was thinking, I was awakened by the cat at 2, by Rachel at 5:30, and she didn't come in and bother, just was a little noisy out there, but she was up all night. So that's okay. That doesn't make any difference. But the sweet thing was, is as I was awakened and I was feeling tired, I checked and the Lord was right there. And His peace just flooded my heart. Because He's so good and He's so faithful and He's so true. So the plans He took such delight in making, He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for a glorious living. And part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. You are His overall purpose. Okay? So, we have this wonderful opportunity. The devotion's around here somewhere. You'll have to read that. You can listen to the message. Or didn't have a message. We don't do messages on Wednesday night. We gab on Wednesday nights. And that's good. So if you're not here, you missed that, talk to somebody. They'll tell you about it. Okay, so now, the final question. It's not the final question, but it's the final one of the four that the Lord gave me. Why did He send the Holy Spirit? Now, some people think He sent the Holy Spirit just to confuse everybody. So people could criticize and complain, tongue talkers, or whatever the case might be, you know. God bless them. They just don't know any better. But do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. The Bible tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit. That's why I told you before. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him. He sealed you. And this whole thing, this whole plan has been about you and me from the beginning.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. And He made everything. And this whole thing, it's about loving Him, but it's about you. Because He needed you. Now we say, oh, God doesn't need anything. If He didn't need anything, He would have stopped when He created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
He'd have just smashed the devil, and He'd have just enjoyed heaven with His angels. But He said, oh, man. We want to make a man in our image. We want to make someone we can love with. Somebody we can fellowship with. Somebody that we can just pour out all the blessings, be it done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's about. You know, people get all upset. Oh, it's not just about blessing. You got to suffer and this and that and the other thing. Well, you know what? People do suffer, but Jesus said you should be of good cheer. Now, we can take what He said, or we can take what we think. Or what somebody else has said. Jesse Duplantis calls it a genetically altered Bible. They mess with what the Lord said in the first place. Now, as we, on last Sunday, I basically ended up just reading you and preaching to you from notes that the Lord had given to me about transition. And about, you know, the move and that the transition is us transitioning. God's preparing for us to transition. God's already had the transition compartment ready to open up. But they're preparing for the people to open up and to receive, for the people to not take their birthright lightly. For the people to say, I don't care what I've learned, I don't care what anybody else has ever said, I care what the Lord says, I'm going to know what the Lord says. Be it done unto you. And when we looked at it, on Wednesday we talked about the fact that when Jesus came to the blind man and He said, do you believe I can do this? How great do you say that I am? And the man said, yes, I do. And Jesus said, okay, according to your faith, be it to you. We think, well, you know, it isn't up to us, it's up to God. As God wills. Well, that's not what He says. He's not on again and off again. We took one place where Jesus said, Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Because he already knew the Father's will. But he had enough humanness in him to not like the idea of hanging on a cross. Huh. Any of you go, can I hang on a cross? Can I please hang on a cross? I don't want to hang on a cross. I don't even want to suffer. I don't even want to spend any time with the tribulating things. I want to close off my mind to the tribulating things and receive the, how great are you, God? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. What's wrong with that? Why does that bother people sometimes? It would seem to me, if something good is happening, we'd want to be a part of it. Not turn our backs on it. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So anyway, I'm thinking about this, about, you know, the why did he send the Holy Spirit? Why was the Holy Spirit so important? Well, duh, Roger. I mean, I knew why, but I mean, I just was seeking him about it. I just was, you know, I mean, we need to have a work, you know, human beings have the mind of Christ, but we're not always the brightest bulbs, okay? So we need something that will help us to comprehend. That's why Paul wrote to people, telling them, listen, he dumped this out on all of us. He took great pleasure in his planning. I mean, hey, let's get excited about this. And so all of a sudden, I just get this picture of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost before the whole thing goes down. Any of it. And they're making a plan for the redemption of man. And the Holy Spirit, getting the Holy Spirit to us is an integral part of this plan. Now, the Old Testament gives us glimpses, right, of the Holy Spirit coming upon people. The Holy Spirit moved upon the waters when all creation was made. The Holy Spirit parted the waters. The Holy Spirit would come upon Samson. And, you know, now, have you ever read the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and had this thought that most of those people were wrecks? Most of them were messed up. But the Holy Spirit still moved through them. People want to knock, you know, preachers of today who might turn out to be wrecks, but the Spirit of God has obviously been moving upon their lives. You know, God pours the Spirit into cracked pots too.
Amen.
It's not, I don't know why, but he obviously does. It's just, you know, I can't explain it, but I can look in the Bible and say, oh man, Samson. I mean, he really had no right to die a hero. He was such a wretch. But God, you know, oh yeah, I think I can use you. Bust down that temple, kill a whole bunch of people. You'll be remembered in the Hall of Faith. Somebody will think he had great faith. I don't know how great a faith he had. He had a great anointing from time to time. But he obviously sold his birthright for a bimbo. She obviously was pretty hot. I mean, she obviously was all right, you know. But boys, don't sell your birthright for a bimbo. Be smarter. Girls, don't sell your birthright for a hunk, all right? Okay, that's as deep as we're going into that. Okay, but the whole, you know, the whole thing is they're making this plan and they got this going on and then they send out, the Holy Spirit comes on, there's a little prophecy here and there about, you know, the coming one, about the Messiah is going to come, you know, and sure enough, you know, but we got to make this so that, you know, if only those who really want it will get it. Okay? You ever notice that? You got to want it in order to get it. God's not going to force anything on you. And so, they're still working at getting the Holy Spirit there. Still working again. So, now here's the deal. We're going to the Holy Spirit's going to go and overwhelm a virgin. That ought to confuse a few people. Virgin has a baby. Not because he wants to confuse people, but he wants people to believe. He wants people to desire him more than their natural senses. And so, certainly, the Holy Spirit comes, the baby is born, and some recognize him for who he is, and most don't. But that doesn't interrupt the plan. He grows up, you know, the religious people wanted something different. Religious people always want something different than what the Bible says. All the time that they're saying, but the Bible says, when they don't have a clue what the Bible says. Well, maybe they have a clue, just not a good clue. And so, ultimately, Jesus comes on the scene. Okay, Holy Spirit, you are going to make an entrance here. You're going to settle on him and stay. So now we got one guy, full of the Holy Spirit. And he can do everything. I mean, he can flat do everything. And everybody's getting a glimpse of a man full of the Holy Spirit. And then, somehow or another, he transfers that power occasionally, and the disciples go out. And they experience that power, and they're going, "Woo, this is good. Woo, this is good. This is really, really good. Man, did you see that?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know, don't rejoice over the demons. They're history. Rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Amen. Mm. How can I rejoice more in that than this? Oh, let me add them, Lord. I can do it all. You know, James and John would say, "How about if we just smoke that whole city, Lord?" Because they didn't like you. You know? "How about if we just kill those people that aren't traveling with us and they're doing stuff in your name?" Guys. You know? But still, he travels that road, goes to the cross, dies, goes into hell. See, while they're planning this, you know, it's like Jesus' parts are going to get ugly. The Son's parts are going to get ugly. Just for a little bit, though, Son. It's just, I've given this a lot of thought, and this is what I've come up with. What do you think? We can do it. We can do this thing. And so, the Son's part gets ugly. He dies. But he gets to go into hell and smoke the devil. That's good. I think he enjoyed that immensely. Led captivity captive, you know. I'm not positive. I wasn't there. But the way it looks to me in Scripture, when he smoked the devil, he preached a word, and there were quite a few people who he led captive into the heavenly realms too. Which will give us a great opportunity to see people that, you know, from that time that we would have assumed wouldn't make it, that most everybody else assumed wouldn't make it, but they were smart enough after just a little time with the devil to choose life. How come we can't do that? We all spent a little time with the devil. And maybe we chose life and got saved, but we've stayed pretty well confused ever since. Not going ahead and receiving the word engrafted or walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, okay, on with the story. So now they've got that plan, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. After you rise from the dead, we're going to send the Holy Spirit to everybody that will receive him. Man, there was a hooting and a hollering going on in heaven. They thought, this is good. And I could just, can't you just see them? Hands in the middle going, "Let's do it." And the plan came into effect. And so, why send the Holy Spirit? He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out in Matthew chapter 10, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. So how did he do that before the Holy Spirit came? Because he could. He told them to do it. He transferred the power. They experienced the power. We look at that and we say, well, that's a glimpse of the power. If we are dedicated and in love with the Lord, our desire should be to do the stuff. In Mark, Jesus said, go into all the world and do all the stuff. Now, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So, has the Holy Spirit come upon your life? Now, we can try to decide, yes, when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit, and obviously the Holy Spirit's there, but somehow or another, there's something that happens so we can manifest that, and probably it's just yielding to it. Probably it's coming to the understanding and then yielding to it. And you have to desire something in order to yield to it. And so that's not what we're talking about here, because I don't want to get into that. That'll take us a lot longer than we have. We can go into that if anybody wants to sometime. We can, okay? But the whole fact of the matter is that Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So if somebody says, well, I have the Holy Spirit, then I say, good, manifest the power. And if you tell me the power is not for everyone, I'll say, you are a liar. And you know not who your Father is. Because you don't know where you're speaking from. Now, I'm not saying that rudely. I'm saying that honestly. You aren't going to help anybody, you know. Somebody's standing on the edge of the cliff, and they don't see the cliff, and they're blind, and they can't see the cliff. And you say, don't take another step, you're going to fall off a cliff. And they say, well, I don't believe that. Grab them by the collar. Or I'll say, go ahead and jump. Call on Jesus on your way. I don't know, you know. But I mean, the thing is that we've got to believe the Word. If we're going to walk in it, we're going to have to believe it.
Amen.
And so, you know, why? When you think about that, okay, Jesus did that. So he said, because he said that he could, the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Matthew 10:7. Healing, cleansing, raising, casting, receiving and giving, this is the kingdom of heaven. Those are the kingdom of heaven things, and then the list is longer than that. But those are the things that Jesus told them to go and do. Those are the things that we have the opportunity for. Those are the things, everything the Lord said, how great do you say that I am? Am I as great as I say I am? Maybe he's saying. And our answer has to be yes. You're greater than we can comprehend. And you're greater than all of these things that come against us. You're greater. So don't sell your birthright by doubt. Remember, doubt keeps the Lord out. The doubt keeps the Lord out. We need to be willing to receive the Word engrafted. I have heard good word from cracked pots. I've heard good word on the news. If he has ears to hear, let him who have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. Because the Lord has an interpretation thing going. And he can speak to us through lots and lots of things. And it came to me as I'm reading this, that only by the Holy Spirit could we retain an increase in power. Okay? When he gave the disciples a little glimpse of it, it was only by the Holy Spirit that they could retain the power. They had glimpsed the power. They had experienced a little of the power. And Jesus said, you will receive the power for yourself when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, we have all, at various times, experienced, like Wayne said, I mean, experiencing just the presence of God this morning. If you were open to receiving it this morning, God was here. Now, God is here all the time because he says he gathers where we are. But there was an increase. There was a wave going on. Rosie said, you know, you can feel it. I said, yeah, it's like waves because God is just that way, and it's not something that should be once in a while. Meet him in the night. Meet him in the morning. Meet him at noon. Meet him anytime. Expecting. That power, he said, you'll receive it, but it was only by receiving the Holy Spirit that they would be able to retain and walk in this. No wonder it was so important to get the Spirit into it, because you see, God wanted to be in us. And he dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us knows he's great. Greater than great. We don't have a word. We don't, you know, we can add 7 million, I don't know if there's 7 million adjectives to go with that word, but if there are, well, there are. In the Holy Spirit, I think I pray way better than I do in English. Because he said I could, and he said I should. Not because he doesn't like to hear me in English, but because he knows best. Say, God knows best. Yes, he does. He knows best. He knows best all the time. But sometimes we just don't want to check with him. Sometimes our birthright's useless. We don't want to really check with him. We don't have to give him a test to see if he's great. We don't have to give him a test to figure out, you know, if he knows what he's talking about. We're the ones that are being graded in this class. He's the teacher. And we need to submit ourselves, therefore, totally unto God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from us. But we need to be submitted to God, submitted to his word, submitted to what he's doing and his ideals. And so they could, by when they would receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but that was obviously the case before the Holy Spirit. They ran and hid. After the Holy Spirit, they would give their lives. The difference that the Holy Spirit made in their lives was, in one case, without, they would run and hide. In the next, they would rather die. Because the truth was so real to them. Because they were endued with power from on high, and they realized that this presence of God in their lives was the thing that made everything else make sense. And then I realized, you know, no wonder Jesus could confidently leave the responsibility of generation salvations on 11 guys that run and hid. Ran and hid. If he could get them to receive the Holy Spirit, if they would but believe him and receive the Holy Spirit and receive that power, then everything was going to work. And with that confidence, he went to the cross. And by the time the Holy Spirit, by the time of the day of Pentecost, by the time of that day, there were 120 of them still together. So there were 10 times as many as he first called. First called 12, remember? There were 10 times as many as he first called there. Only 10 times, only 120 people. Boy, that was not a successful ministry, was it? And you know something? Some of the things that he said still haven't come to pass. But they will. But that Holy Spirit came, and those 120 got filled. And they got filled with power. And yes, they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And then they went out and they healed the sick and they raised the dead and they did every manner of thing. But they did all of those things because they received power from on high. Amen. Because they received the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? It was all about you. And what you could do for the kingdom of God. To be building up the kingdom of God, to be expanding the kingdom of God, to be walking in all the promises of God, to be receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving download after download after download of God's revelation. Paul said, man, I pray that you'll be filled with knowledge and revelation of the greatness of God. Today, the Lord said, that you could know how deep and how wide the breadth of my love. That you could know that. You can't know that without the Holy Spirit. You can only suspect it. without the Holy Spirit. That's why so many people just wear out in the realm of Christendom because they only suspect it, because they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason they don't have the witness of it is because they won't receive it. They won't just download. You know, if you run a computer at all, you know that you're continually getting these things that are additions or corrections or new things that they're adding to the software, that you just download them. They go in. If you read the instructions, it says this will cause this to work better. You know, I'm so computer savvy. I sit and I say, well, you know, it's working pretty good now, but it says it'll cause it to work better, and who am I to argue? Now, some of them say there are certain programs on your computer that will not work until you get another patch when you download this patch, but this patch will make this work better, but then you'll have to go get this other thing to make it work better. And I go, well, one of them that has always caused a problem to is my RoboFormer. My RoboFormer is the automatic fill-in of all my passwords of everything because I don't want to remember passwords. And so if it says that RoboForm isn't going to operate, I will forego the thing that will make everything else work better until they tell me we now have a patch that will make RoboForm work. And then when it lines up with RoboForm, it's all good. That's how we should be with Jesus. When it lines up with Jesus, it's all good. But there are revelations that the Lord will give like the word that Diane was talking about, the revelations that He will give, we may not always get the whole works to begin with, but there comes a place where we need to trust that the Lord knows what He's talking about, and it will all of a sudden just mesh. And I do that sometimes with that. I sit and I go, well, if it doesn't work, I'll find it. But this looks like it should make this part of my computer work better, which I didn't know that it wasn't working well at all. But just in case it isn't working well, this will make it work better. Folks, we need to be that way with God. We might think everything's working just perfectly, but He downloads us something that will make it work better. Hit the button and download it. I want it all to work well because my Bible tells me that He causes all things to work together to the good of them that love Him and that are called according to His purpose. I want it all to work well. And this was why Jesus came, died, and rose from the dead to send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was His favorite. I gotta read to you about where is it? Well, anyway, I can't find it. But I got this impression of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit, and it's like it was like His favorite thing. It was like His icing on the cake. It was like the sweetener that some people like in their coffee, you know. That he said, I'm going away. I'm going to send you my favorite. I'm going to send you a friend. I'm going to send you one that will help you, and He will make all of this make sense. He will make it make sense. You see, it still wasn't making sense when He hung on the cross, was it? And it really wasn't making a lot of sense even after He rose from the dead, because they couldn't quite figure out what was going on. Do you think that any of them heard the stories that were being spread about the disciples stealing the body? Do you think any of them looked around and said, I wonder who got the body? Hey, they were human. It's possible that even one of the 11 thought, yeah, you know, that could be true, you know. John was gone for a little while. And he's always claiming that he's the one that Jesus loves, so you know, you never know. John might have just done that to keep this thing going, because you know, John was getting a lot of favor, and if he could just keep this thing going, it might keep these are not good ideas, okay? But it's possible. Because don't we do that? Don't we allow what other people say or what other people do or what has happened before, don't we sometimes allow it to cause us to question God? Even to question, you know, people that we love. I've told you before that there have been times when like I'd have to ask Vicki and I would say, "Honey, do you think I would get up in the morning and plan to make your life miserable?" And she always says no. Now, she might have to think about that. But when you bring it down to those terms, you have to, you know, you have to think, well, no, you wouldn't do that. But yet the one, nobody loves her except God like I love her. But the enemy can sow seeds that might cause her to question that. Okay? With the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power to overcome all the questions, but we got to let Him have His way. And sometimes then we have to trust one another. God forbid that we should trust one another. But we should. Hey, there was nothing to a natural mind that would have believed that the plan that they made in heaven could possibly work. People would have tweaked it. No, I don't think sending the baby is a good idea. I think it should roll in there in lightning and thunder. Do this baby right. I don't have anything to say about it, but just in case you're looking for, you know, suggestions, Lord. Just like, you know, I mean, I sometimes hear words preaching like maybe over an iPod or something. I've never seen the person. And, you know, I like what they're saying. And, you know, I mean, man, they're right on. And then I see the person and I have to revamp all my thinking because I'm not sure I like how they look. And I think, Roger, that's really stupid. But you see, I was expecting someone bigger, someone bolder, somebody that looked better, somebody that wasn't so dumpy. Some, you know, I mean, hey, we got the natural thing going, don't we? I think, maybe I should just keep listening and forget that vision. Get that out of my head. I'll put no evil thing before my eyes. But, you know, I mean, we have those things happen to us because we still live in a natural world, and so the natural tries to overtake the supernatural. But the Holy Spirit is there if we will simply allow Him to do what He was sent to do, dwell in us, and lead us into all truth and empower us. And so, Jesus looked at sending the Holy Spirit as the last greatest thing that He could do for us. Because with the Holy Spirit, greater things than He did, we would be able to do. With the Holy Spirit, we would be able to overcome every attack of the enemy. Amen. With the Holy Spirit, we could believe that the Lord will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. With the Holy Spirit, we would not succumb to the wars and the rumors of wars and the storms upon finances and all of those kind of things. With the Holy Spirit in us, we would be continually reminded, "Great is the Lord, great is the Lord, great is the Lord." And our question would then be, not how will we overcome this, but how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? See, the Holy Spirit within you bears witness and cries out, "Abba, Father," in every situation. It just says, "Great is God. God is able." And even until we come to this understanding, He is well able to erase all those things from the past so that we can reach forth unto those things that are ahead. Because as Paul said, this whole thing has been dumped out on all of us. That's how I survive. It's in Him that I've found life. There is no life without Him. To the Galatians, he said, what's the matter with you? You started in the Spirit. Who has deceived you? Don't let this happen. Don't be so foolish. Don't go two steps with the Holy Spirit and one step back. It's not a dance class, man. It's a straightforward. It's like a tango that just keeps going forward. You turn around and go forward the other way, but you don't go backwards. You don't back up. You know? Two-step or the waltz, you're always going one step forward, then you're going sideways, then you're going backwards, then you're going forward, then you're going sideways, then you're going backwards. You can't decide what in the world you're doing. Oh, I don't know how I get into those things, but you know, it's a good picture if you think about it. Don't dance around the Holy Spirit, dance with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus came and He died and He rose again so He could send the Holy Spirit and dwell in us richly and wow, the plan! And it was all about you. It was all about you. You are more important than the kingdom of God. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. But you personally are more important to God. His kingdom will go on forever, but you personally, being a part of it, you personally experiencing it, you personally being involved in it is what makes it great pleasure to Him, because He took great pleasure in making these plans and you're part of them. You're part of them. You're the focus of them. And for us to believe anything less is to sell God short. It's to ridicule Him and say, yeah, right. Why would somebody say, now, why would somebody hear a word like this and say, well, yeah, right? Why wouldn't somebody hear a word like this and say, whoa, there's some more for me to get. There's some more of God for me to get. Didn't He say to us this morning, there's more. There's more. There's more. Been my battle cry for all my saved life. There's more. There's more. There's more. And all of the other stuff is wonderful, but more of Him is the answer. Amen. And only the Holy Spirit can confirm that and empower and enable us to live that way. Because without the Spirit, we won't do that, because we won't want to, because we like our flesh best. Amen. But with the Holy Spirit, we figured something out. The Holy Spirit, God in me, will take good care of my flesh. It's my soul that thirsts after Thee. Early in the morning, I will rise up and seek Thee, and because Thou hast been my help, Jesus breathes on you and He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Again and again and again.